The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
And I'm kind of paraphrasing here what Rush Limbaugh said. And I thought it was kind of interesting, too, that even though he has lung cancer right now and is having a hard time in a lot of ways, his model, according to his model, he has like 50 million listeners, different listeners. Well, 50 million different people, as I understand this, that listen to him every week. 50 million, that's a lot of people. And because he is really powerful in understanding liberal politics. Nobody understands it like he does.
Nobody understands it like he does. That's a clip from my father's message, a message he gave back in June, just last year, talking about Rush Limbaugh, who died yesterday, of course, all through the crazy year of 2020. Mr. Limbaugh was fighting against lung cancer, and he finally lost that battle yesterday. And from what many have since said, in response to his death, he was in quite a lot of pain and was suffering through a lot. And I think in a lot of ways, leaving aside the politics, which we'll touch on here in just a moment, but to see the way that he continued the fight and continued even broadcasting. It was sporadic toward the end, but still to come, and this was Mr. Talk Radio for 30-some years. For the better part of my adult life, Rush Limbaugh was always on in the middle of the day. I wasn't able to listen to his program too much, but I certainly read some transcripts of segments that he had over the years, and we'll play a few clips here in just a moment. But just looking at the drive that man had and the longevity of his career, there's a lot to take away just from that alone. I could spend a separate segment on that. I was always fascinated by him when he would just talk about talk radio as a medium, as a platform, and how much he preferred that, even over television. We've been transitioning, as you know, more toward a TV podcast. But he really did appreciate just being able to communicate a message using words alone, audio, sound. And he did it quite well, and there were quite a few copycats following his career path, which started back in the 1980s as far as talk radio goes. And I think he was in radio for 15, 20 years even before that. There's an outpouring of support for him on the one hand. And then there's all of this venomous hatred on the other hand. And I won't take the time to give you the quotes coming from the radical left. The glee that they have over this man's demise. They're happy to see him gone. And as they talk about his career, they say, well, he was controversial. He caused division. He was a racist. He was a misogynist. He was all these things. The hatred. Why so much hatred for one man? He did, as my father explained there, he had a pretty big platform. He had tens of millions of people tuning into him every week. But why did his enemies hate him so much? And why are they happy to see him gone? Well, I think Tucker Carlson last night, he summed it up best when he said this. This is clip one.
The most dangerous man in America. That's what they called him. That's what they call you when you're brave enough to tell the truth.
They say you're dangerous. When you're brave enough to tell the truth, then they say, these radical leftists, these communists, these Marxist revolutionaries, they say you're dangerous. They hated him because he exposed their lies. They hated him because he told the truth. They hated him because he was a fighter, because he fought back. He didn't surrender. And when you do that, you make yourself, like Isaiah 59 says, you make yourself a target. You make yourself a prey. Isaiah 59, 15, it says, yes, truth fails. We've talked a lot about that in recent months. Truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. If you depart from evil in any way, then you make yourself a target. You make yourself a prey. Listen to what Rush Limbaugh had to say. This goes back to June of 2013. So we're right in the middle of the Obama years. Barack Obama had just been elected to his second term in office. And here's what Rush Limbaugh said on his radio program in 2013, clip two.
What everybody knows and nobody wants to really come to grips with is that we are in the midst of a coup taking place.
We're in the midst of a coup taking place. That was his take on the Obama administration. And it was from the beginning, going back to 2009. I'll read some quotes to you here in just a moment. But on this broadcast, June 7th, 2013, he was describing for his listeners this coup d'etat, this rolling coup that was going on. And he said quite a few people, they would not acknowledge it. They were in denial. And yet if you just listened to Barack Obama, if you just listened to his people, then you would know this is a coup taking place. He went on to say this, clip three.
Now, I know what's going to happen. And the people on the other side of the glass going, will you dial that coup talk back? That's all the headlines are going to be. I don't care. In fact, it's almost on a par with I hope he fails. How does that sound now, by the way? I hope he fails. I'm constantly looking for ways here to persuade people of what I passionately believe. And I'm not in it to lie to anybody. There's nothing to be gained by lying to you about what I really think. There's nothing to be gained here by lying about facts. There's nothing to be gained here by gaining ground under false pretense. So if the Constitution exists as it is, country was founded as it was, and an administration comes along and doesn't like that, and is doing everything it can to overturn that Constitution without a convention, doing everything it can to change the direction of this country, and what's the word, transform it? What's wrong with calling this a coup?
What's wrong with calling this a coup? He came in promising, vowing to fundamentally transform the United States of America. And Rush alluded to a comment that he had made previously, saying that early on in the Obama years, he said, I hope he fails. And, of course, he was criticized nonstop for making that statement. What do you mean? What do you mean you hope he fails? He's the president of the United States. And Rush would say, look, based upon his policies and what he's promising to do, I do not want him to succeed. And then you get a little bit into his presidency, and there's Rush again saying, Look, folks, this is a coup. It's a coup attempt. He said this on February 26th, 2009, so this is just a few weeks into the Obama presidency. He said, it's not about politics anymore. This is really not even about politics. I'm going to have to come up with a way of explaining so you understand what I mean. This is not about politics. It's a political coup. It's a political coup. That's the way we need to look at this. It's not Democrat versus Republican. It's a coup attempt. That last comment that I played for you, by the way, he was saying all of that in 2013. Really, he was saying it throughout the Obama years. But just going back to that year, 2013, many of you will remember that's when my father came out with America Under Attack, which is a booklet basically about the coup. The coup attempt. The coup d'etat. September 23rd, 2009. I did refer to this as a coup, a bloodless coup, said Limbaugh. He has delivered the United States to the global powers without firing a shot. That's what he said about Barack Obama. Same program. He said, I would describe what Obama is doing to this country as basically a coup. And then about a year later, this is September of 2010, there was a caller that called in on his program saying that Obama was basically using coup d'etat tactics, and Rush didn't disagree. He said, bouncing here off the subject of our last caller, the issue here is the dictatorial nature of this regime and Obama's willingness to do anything to advance his agenda. He's operating like a dictator. And you can read all about this. You can read about God's take in America Under Attack. And you can see how spot on many of Rush Limbaugh's statements were over the years. And no wonder they hate him so much. No wonder they're glad to see him gone. Because he spoke the truth in so many ways. He exposed their lies. He did not surrender. And if you go back to that 2013 broadcast, I don't have all the clips, but again, he talked about those who would not admit what was happening, what was really going on. And you fast forward to today and see how all of these Republicans, as I've been covering in recent weeks, have just totally surrendered to this same spirit, to these same forces. All the lies that are now being exposed about January the 6th, and yet what are these radicals, what are they insisting? Oh, there's got to be a 9/11 type commission to look into this insurrection. We've got to still go after Donald Trump. If you, to talk about Mr. Trump for a second, if you analyze why there's such venomous hatred for Rush Limbaugh, you can get a pretty good understanding right then about why they hate Donald Trump as well. Rush Limbaugh, of course, was a strong Donald Trump supporter. They weren't willing to face up to the truth. So many, even in the Republican Party, that's what Limbaugh said back in 2013. He said this too, Obama puts people in positions that mirror him. They were all just little Obama clones, and now you see those same clones. They're in place in the fake Biden administration, and then you've got the puppet master operating everything just down the street. Barack Obama, he's still there. He's still in Washington, D.C. It says here, Eric Holder, you name it, they're doing Obama's bidding. Everybody, Susan Rice, Samantha Power, they are Obama. They are Obama. And there's a context for what's happening, said Limbaugh. This is from 2013. He goes on to quote this guy, Herbert Meyer, and says basically, you know, Meyer says it's a coup attempt. And Rush agreed. There are people attempting to take over this country, he said back in 2013, and to make it something that it wasn't founded as, to turn it into something that it wasn't intended to be. That is happening. You know it, and I know it. It's peaceful, nonviolent. Well, to some extent. We now see that there was violence. They have used violence. They used it all last year. It wasn't such a peaceful summer in 2020 as Mr. Limbaugh was battling lung cancer. It says the military isn't involved. Well, that's what he means about peaceful, I suppose. The military isn't involved, but nevertheless, it is a coup. It's a coup. In that same segment, that's from June 7th, 2013, Limbaugh played this clip from Maxine Waters. She's still around. She's still in Washington. She's still calling for violence, or she did when Trump was in power. This was what Maxine Waters said back in the early part of 2013, February of 2013, clip four.
Oh, and I think some people are missing something here. The president has put in place an organization that contains the kind of database that no one has ever seen before in life. That's going to be very, very powerful. And whoever...
In terms of the Organizing for America that he's now shifting to become a 501c4.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that database will have information about everything on every individual in ways that it's never been done before.
That's Maxine Waters. See, every once in a while, like I've pointed out recently, they say the silent part out loud. 2013, this was when you're hearing about all of these scandals, the IRS attacking these conservative groups, and then, of course, the NSA collecting all of this data on everyone, phone calls, text messages, emails. And Maxine Waters is there saying, this is real. He's setting up things that have never been done before, and this is going to make him powerful. And those agencies and all of that data, they used it. They used it against their political enemies. And that happened in 2016, and then they became even more bold and more audacious in 2020. As President Trump said yesterday, the one who has to be angriest about all that's happened in 2020 with the election fraud is Hillary Clinton, because she's probably sitting back saying, hey, how come you didn't steal it from me in 2016? They accused Donald Trump of stealing it from her, but she's sitting back now saying, if I would have had all of that mail-in voting, if I would have had all of those Dominion systems in Georgia installed 4 years earlier, well, I would have won the presidency, no problem. There's a spirit behind this. Now, that's a dimension Rush Limbaugh never did understand. But like my father said in that clip I played for you at the top of the program, he certainly understood the radical left. He certainly understood that enemy. He certainly understood their motivations. He told the truth. The spiritual dimension behind it all, though, that's described in Revelation 12. Where it says there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, and neither was their place found any more in heaven. There's no more place for them in heaven. Now these demons, millions and millions of them, Satan himself, they're confined to this earth. Listen to what my father said in Great Again. America is being attacked from within and without. There are failures everywhere, economically, culturally, politically, militarily, morally. Anyone who says there isn't a real problem here needs to open his eyes. We need to see what is happening to our nation. See, there's my father talking about this spiritual dimension, saying essentially the same thing that Rush Limbaugh said in that June 2013 program. That people will not open their eyes to what's really happening here. They won't see it. They just can't accept it. They can't believe that this would actually be a coup attempt. And you look at what he was saying throughout the Obama years, and then consider what happened in November, just last year. The rolling coup attempt. They pulled it off. The election steal, at least for a time, My father said the radical left is not our big problem. Ultimately, this isn't about a man or an administration. It's about an evil spirit being who's working to destroy this nation and about why God is allowing it to happen. God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to wake up our nations. God is trying to open our eyes. Verse 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth," it says, "and his angels," or demons, "were cast out with him." They were cast into the earth. They've encircled the earth. They're confined to the earth. And what are they doing? Well, you see their fingerprints on everything. On everything. It says, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them." Verse 12, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." See, the heavens are rejoicing because there's no more place for Satan and his demons. But woe unto the earth. Woe, even to the sea, it says. "For the devil's come down to you having great wrath because he knows he has but a short time. He knows that his time is about up. He knows that his time is about over." Rush had another program in September of 2018 where he talked about the obsession that the radical left has. He said it was almost like a demonic possession. It was almost demonic, he said, if only he knew. If only Rush Limbaugh could have understood this spiritual dimension. He looked at the radical left, though. The irrational, unhinged, obsessed radical left. And he said, you know what? It's almost like a demonic possession of some kind. You can't explain it otherwise. In Saving America from the Radical Left, this is from 2018. And my father said, "Satan is marshaling every tool and weapon that he can to wreck this nation. And he's having alarming success. This evil spiritual power is influencing the radical left. Most Republicans," listen to this, "most Republicans don't realize what they are dealing with. They don't see it. They won't open their eyes." You've got some of these weak Republicans that have more respect for and have shown more support for Barack Obama than they ever would Donald Trump. They're convinced that Donald Trump is the problem. Why do these enemies of America hate Rush Limbaugh so intensely? Why do they hate Donald Trump? Because these two have exposed, they've exposed the coup. They've told the truth. And they have fought back. Listen to President Trump from a rally. I think this was when he kicked off his re-election campaign back in June of 2019. This is clip 9.
"The Democrats don't care about Russia. They only care about their own political power. They went after my family, my business, my finances, my employees, almost everyone that I've ever known or worked with. But they are really going after you. That's what it's all about. It's not about us, it's about you. They tried to erase your vote, erase your legacy of the greatest campaign and the greatest election probably in the history of our country. And they wanted to deny you the future that you demanded and the future that America deserves and that now America is getting. Our radical Democrat opponents are driven by hatred, prejudice, and rage. They want to destroy you, and they want to destroy our country as we know it. Not acceptable. It's not going to happen."
That's Donald Trump from June of 2019. It's interesting looking back on some of these clips, given what we now know as fact regarding the rigged election and the attempt, the effort to erase votes and to add votes in the case of Biden and the forces behind it all. Why do they hate Donald Trump so much? Because he tells the truth. He exposes the lies and the falsehood. And he's a fighter. Dave Rubin made this point on Mark Levin's show. I believe this is from Sunday, but this is someone, I guess, I don't know too much about Rubin, but he talks in this interview about converting to conservatism. He used to be a liberal, I guess. And here's what he had to say, clip 10.
So for me, as someone that's sort of new to this side, I want to see more people that know how to fight. And I think that really was why so many people hated Trump to the level that they did. But the reason they hated Trump was not because of the policies. It was because he showed people how to fight. And there is nothing that the media and the big tech companies hate more, and the Democrats hate more, than someone who actually will fight.
Someone who will fight. And furthermore, as he said there, he showed people how to fight. And when you do that, you're going to make yourself a prey. You're going to make yourself a mighty inviting target. As far as the radical left is concerned, you've got to be taken out. You've got to be blotted out. You've got to be destroyed. President Trump, by the way, I suppose in response to Rush Limbaugh's death, he finally came out and had a few interviews yesterday. I think one with Sean Hannity and another with Greg Kelly at Newsmax. And he had a lot of kind remarks regarding Rush Limbaugh. But then he also said, and he's the only one, he talked about all of the election fraud, the steal, getting away with this steal, the steal of the century, the steal of the greatest steal of an election in American history. Here's what he said on Newsmax, clip 5.
And then we had an election where we got almost 75 million votes, and some say much more than that. But we had an election where we set records. We set the record between the previous election. We had 12 million more votes. We didn't want to get 12. We wanted to get 3 million more. We said we can't lose. We got 12. And bad things happened, but you've covered that and you know it. And really bad and dishonest things happened. And when they say stop the steal, they're not just kidding. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. It's like a third world country with the elections. So we have to get that straightened out. And I think get to the bottom of what happened. I also think, you know, go forward, but we also have to go back because we have to get back. We have to go back. But I think it's just disgraceful.
Hey, Mr. President,
it's disgraceful,
you know,
what happened in the election. And Rush was Rush was just incensed by what happened with the tabulation. Let's call it, be nice, tabulation, the counting of votes. Lots of different things, but the counting of votes, the tabulation of that election, it was disgraceful. In swing states.
It was disgraceful. And Rush, as he said there, was incensed. Rush knew it was stolen. He knew about the fraud. He exposed the fraud. Now, there was a point where I think Rush, like many others, thought, well, maybe the best thing to do at this stage is to just move on. But at least to his credit, Donald Trump continues with the same message. There was a story by Glenn Greenwald. He talked about the media lies regarding the January 6th protest, the so-called insurrection. And you've had all of these, like the fire extinguisher that supposedly killed this police officer, all of these stories thoroughly debunked. And it's just one after another after another. And you have to ask yourself, why would they tell lies if it really and truly was Pearl Harbor all over again? Or 9/11 all over again? If we need a 9/11 commission, Well, it seems like the facts should just speak for themselves. Instead, you see video of protesters saying, don't smash those windows. Or someone that was in the chamber saying, hey, get out of the speaker's chair. That's disrespectful. And this is an insurrection? And where is the video of all the weapons? An armed insurrection. The only gunshot that was fired came from that anonymous Capitol Hill police officer who shot Ashley Babbitt in the neck. That's the only bullet that was fired. And do you see any pictures of the protest outside? Do you see any of them with people waving guns and knives, swords, whatever? This piece by Glenn Greenwald, again, he debunks so many of these major media claims following January the 6th. And the point that he makes in his piece is that the radical left, they needed January 6th to be something that it wasn't, so that they could silence those who protested the election, so that they could justify their sham impeachment, so that they could justify locking down the Capitol, and so that they could justify targeting Donald Trump supporters. Because it's not enough to go after Trump. You've got to go after everyone who voted for him as well. 75 million Americans. They're all white nationalists. They're all white supremacists. They're all racists. And so they turned January 6th into something that it wasn't. And they had all kinds of help from the media, from the New York Times, from the Washington Post. The New York Times, remember, that was the original source for Officer Sicknick supposedly being bludgeoned to death. That was critical for the impeachment trial. Sam sent me a note this morning after he went through this piece by Glenn Greenwald, pointing out how he didn't even realize how central this was to the impeachment claim. The fact that Officer Sicknick was bludgeoned to death. It didn't happen. But that's what the New York Times said coming right out of the starting blocks following January the 6th. Yeah, he was beaten to death by a Trump supporter using a fire extinguisher. This is from the article of impeachment. It says, Trump supporters injured and killed law enforcement personnel. The insurrectionists killed a Capitol Police officer by striking him in the head with a fire extinguisher. That's in the impeachment articles. So where is Ben Sasse? Where is Mitt Romney? Why haven't they come forward and said, we were lied to? Why were we lied to? Why didn't they tell the truth? No, instead, they voted to convict those two Rhino Republicans. They voted to try to keep him, Donald Trump, out of office for the rest of his life. Another storyline, thoroughly debunked, the so-called zip tie guy. It was pre-planned. He came to the protest with all these zip ties. That's how he was going to bind people, bind their wrists, and take prisoners. And it turns out that this guy just found a stack of zip ties somewhere on a desk in the Capitol, and he just grabbed them. There was nothing. Nobody was bringing handcuffs to that protest so that they could take prisoners. That was another lie. Yet another lie. And what about, as I say, the so-called armed insurrection? The Capitol Police were armed. The National Guard surrounding the Capitol were armed. But have you seen anything from anywhere about the armed the armed protesters? Capture and assassinate. This is another storyline that Greenwald debunks, that the protesters were coming to capture and to assassinate elected officials. Now, they've since had to dial that back. There's no evidence. There's no evidence suggesting that. NBC said federal official walks back allegation. Rioters intended to capture and assassinate. That's from NBC. Another, you know, quiet apology, or they're quietly setting the record straight. Just like the New York Times did about the fire extinguisher story, the non-story, the story they made up, the story that came from two officials in law enforcement. And they told a bald-faced lie because they had to make January 6th into something that it wasn't so that it could justify their attack on Donald Trump, so that it could justify their coup attempt. They need, if it's a silent coup or a coup that doesn't involve the military, and Rush Limbaugh's made this point over the years, if it's that kind of coup, they need majority support. They need everybody on board saying this election was perfect. They need everybody on board saying this was an armed insurrection. And you can see why they need the media so much, because the media is there, the propaganda media is there to send out just one message, and one message alone. And if anyone comes up with a contrarian view, Rush Limbaugh, first and foremost, he has to be attacked. He has to be maligned. He has to be destroyed. And you hear all of these liberal commentators yesterday. Hear the man, like my father said in that clip I played for you, here the man had as many as 50 million people tuning in every week. And yet you listen to the liberal commentators yesterday, and those people presumably were tuning in to a racist, a misogynist, someone who caused all kinds of division and strife. He was the problem, supposedly. That's the storyline that they want you to run with. Just like they wanted you to run with the fire extinguisher story. Just like they wanted you to run with the zip tie guy story. Just like they wanted you to run with capture and assassinate. All of them lies. All of them exposed as lies. Rush Limbaugh, as my father said last year, he talked about just how close the United States was to losing everything. He's talking about, you know, Donald Trump coming along, and of course, again, he doesn't see the spiritual dimension, God intervening to save America temporarily. But listen here to what my father said last June. This is clip 12.
Rush Limbaugh said, "We don't know how close we came to losing everything." We don't know. Now, Rush Limbaugh saw that, and he's exactly right. God said, "I have to save Israel." He saw that, and so did Rush Limbaugh. And he sees those things in the radical left better than anybody else. But he says, "Do you realize how close we came to losing our country?" Well, what kind of hope does he have deep down? What can we do in a case like that? He surely asks. And he even has doubts about our survival anyhow, because the man is really brilliant in his domestic politics. He said, he made this statement. He said, "It's amazing to me these people weren't able to bring it off." I mean, they had everything set up, and he can't understand why they didn't succeed. Well, I'll tell you why they didn't succeed. God stopped it.
That's my father from last June 13th, 2000. He couldn't understand. Limbaugh couldn't understand how they had all this apparatus in place, spying on ordinary Americans, the deep state, the DOJ, the FBI. They had Obama's shadow government. They were targeting conservative groups. They were targeting the Trump campaign. They were targeting the Trump presidency. And he couldn't understand, Limbaugh couldn't, how they didn't succeed, why they didn't succeed. Well, God had something to say about it. God, it's only God that can straighten something like this out. And of course, we know that even that is just temporary. In the bigger picture, God's trying to get all of us to wake up. Conservatives, liberals, Democrats, Republicans. He's trying to get us all to wake up and to see our many sins so that we might turn to him in repentance and faith. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with some viewer feedback that's come in over the last few days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
A few emails here coming in from some of you viewers. One writes, I've told friends that I won't get the COVID vaccine just because there are likely some very bad side effects to it. And after viewing your show from Tuesday, I knew I was right on this. When vaccines are put in place with virtually no long-term studies or safeguards, there are bound to be deaths from it. Thank you for giving all of us this valuable information. And so glad you now have a way you can express your thoughts and views without having to be censored by YouTube. Congratulations. A victory for you and all of us. Keep letting us know the truth. We need it. Well, speaking of YouTube, I mentioned, I believe, yesterday how that we're in the process of using that platform more as a way to advertise this program on thetrumpet.com/live page that you can get to. Of course, you can also get to all of these videos after the live presentation. They're posted at thetrumpet.com website. So it is, as she says, it's awesome to have our own platform that prevents us from being censored. Another one writes, in the darkest days of the pandemic, your daily briefings gave us hope, gave us clarity, gave us the truth, and this is quoting we played that montage the other day. Remember all those celebrities that said Andrew Cuomo was just Well, he was just perfect. He just handled the pandemic perfectly. And so this listener is quoting from Billy Crystal, who said, "In the darkest days of the pandemic, your daily briefings gave us hope, gave us clarity, gave us the truth, and gave us something we were not getting from Washington. Leadership." And then the viewer writes, "Was Billy Crystal watching the Trumpet Daily too during the pandemic? Is he talking about you?" Well, we would hope, but of course he wasn't. He was talking about the good governor, the Emmy Award-winning governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo. Another one writes here, "You all do such a fabulous job of keeping us all up to date with truthful current events. My wife and I appreciate it so much. And now the name, TDR, is evolving to a new type of show. Now, could it be by chance changed to something more akin to what it truly is, the Trumpet Daily Report? Just a thought. No matter what it is called, our father is using the platform to report to the world what foolishness man is doing every day." It says, "Finally, you are in our daily prayers." Another one here coming in from a listener in North Carolina. It says, "Thank you for all your reports daily and how you don't hold back. Your show has been a beacon of hope during all the madness that we've seen unfold this past year. I know you and the church will not faint in this day of adversity, so keep up the good work." You asked for this one, though. "How does one go about getting their new TD coffee mug? I'm just saying, couldn't help but see it there on your desk." Well, we've actually ordered, these are pretty much ordinary cups here. We've ordered one that has a really nice and attractive shape to it, and I'm not sure when that they come in, but we'll make it known to you when they're available, and then you can contact our college bookstore and order your own, your very own Trumpet Daily coffee mug. How about that? This is from New Jersey. It says, "Thank you for the daily broadcast and getting the truth to the public. I was born and raised in America, and it is heart-wrenching to see the lawlessness taking place unabated. I have to pray continually that my heart does not wax cold because of all the iniquity being reaped upon us." It says, "However, the hatred and the hatred that permeates America via the radical left and its party is leading to a disastrous end, sadly to say. My prayer is that God will have mercy on this nation in the midst of judgment. Now I know how Noah and Lot must have felt." It says, "Lastly, do you have any information regarding the Celtic Throne DVD release?" And actually, I don't. That's a good question. I know that we're hoping, perhaps, to have another performance or a few of them this summer coming up here in a few months. We'll see. We'll certainly have a lot more to say about that as we get closer. Another one here says, "The truths provided by your program are truly amazing, as are your episodes of the lies and deceits being given out by corrupt politicians, aided by their co-conspirators in the media." It says, "Thank you so much. I pray that God will continue to support and protect you as you work tirelessly to reach people with God's truth." Another one here says, "Thanks again for another exposing presentation. What a wonderful certainty to know that when I watch the Trumpet Daily, I'm seeing the real truth. It's reassuring to see all the presenters having," we do have quite a few sometimes subbing in, so we've got some help with that, and also, of course, with our news gathering each day. But it says here, it's reassuring to see all the presenters having to patiently correct themselves with the name change, dropping radio, keep boldly speaking the truth. We all have mistakes here and there. We all are forgetful, and it's hard sometimes to lock in some of these new changes. This one here says, "Each day after work, I can't wait to sit and listen to your program. It's so inspiring. Today's message," this is in response to one on February 9th, about a week ago, a little over a week ago. It says, "Today's message talked about putting on the armor of God, being a Christian soldier." It says here, "It makes me remember when we used to sing it sometimes at services from the Feast of Tabernacles, as God is the master of all things. He knows, he knows perfectly, or times it perfectly, it says, and will take care of everything. Can't wait to be back officially in God's only true church and to be part of it and to serve God's end-time work. I've been in the outer court for too long, this viewer writes. I've wasted my time. My armor is waiting for me so I can put it back on and be where I belong. It says I'm very happy to listen to the Trumpet Daily program. It is an honor to be part of the process, to sit in on the future, or to sit on the future upcoming throne and to rule with Christ. Another one here, it says, something you said on today's show got me thinking, which is sometimes a dangerous thing. I'm 75 years old, and I can't believe how far our country has gone downhill in just 20 years, short of three of my lifetimes, since the signing of the Declaration of Independence. It says, people just don't realize, this individual, if you add it up, you talk about the signing of the Declaration, it really wasn't that long ago. America still is a fairly young country, and to see just how fast, that's the point that he's making, to see how fast it's deteriorating and degenerating. People don't realize, it says, how fast time has flown by. 245 years is not that long. I thank God every day and pray that he keeps your people safe as you broadcast his good news. And then finally, another one says, thank you for such an eye-opening article. This is in response to one of the Trumpet briefs. I had read something about this bill, but you had spelled it out in more precise detail. Indeed, our affliction is very bitter. Only God himself can save us from these Satan-inspired radicals. Again, thank you and your staff so very much for your programs, videos, articles, books, magazines, and so on. It says they are a true treasure trove of godly truth and inspiration. Please keep them coming. God bless and keep you all. Well, we have time for one last one here, or maybe a couple more. It says, I always have a lot of things I'd like to write in and say, but time is hard to come by. However, I have actually just paused the show quickly because I can't wait any longer to give great praise and show appreciation for all of the new promotional videos that have been created in recent months. It is nice to have some new images to catch attention with. Really nice job to those involved in producing them. They are of the highest quality and very inspiring. It says, thanks for everything. And now back to the show. Well, that's a good place to end off. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.